You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is my interview with the cinematographer for the film Cold War, Lukasz Zab.
Dwa serduszka, cztery oczy.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. I am your host, Matt Neglia, and today I am being joined by an Academy Award nominee for his work on the film Ida, which won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film a few years ago. He is reteaming up with the director, Paweł Pawlikowski, for their latest movie, Cold War. I have with me today Lukasz Zab. Lukasz, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Well, first of all, can I just say congratulations on the film? It must be very nice to see it receiving such a warm reception since its premiere at the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think it's everything what is happening with this film. It's, you know, I mean, I didn't expect that. And I mean, making this film is for me like a huge joy and great happiness, because it was a kind of like a, you know, creative meditation with Paweł. It was amazing, and it was so, you know, what is happening now, it's something like an extra, and I didn't expect, so you know, I'm so happy.
Yeah, I mean, and you got your first Oscar nomination for your first feature-length film. You'd previously worked on a few documentaries and shorts before that, so that must have been quite a thrill for you as well.
Wow, yeah, that was really also and a lot of things happened in my life. It was a kind of a amazing gifts. And yeah, that was because, you know, I was to be a camera operator in this film, in Ida, and the original DOP, he just felt sick. And so I replaced him, and, you know, and I was exactly, you know, the same, like with this movie, I was just so happy and so thankful that I'm able to work with Paweł, and I'm able to work by a feature film and such an amazing film that it was also like a great, you know, journey. And after all, that was a, you know, such a amazing situation that, you know, I was nominated and I got so many awards. I really didn't expect it. Yeah, so it was, yeah, it was amazing, especially that, you know, I was, as you said, shooting just you know, documentaries, and then it was very interesting, because that I was a kind of a strange moment in my life that I felt that I really wanted to make a feature, you know, and I really somehow was struggling, and I was a little bit, maybe not fed up with documents, but I really wanted to make a film, and, you know, and it came from the moment and from the place I didn't expect. So yes, yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I imagine that's how you and Paweł kind of got connected in a way, was actually kind of by accident on Ida. So I'm curious then, for Cold War, like, how did that come about? Were you, obviously, after your collaboration on Ida, his first choice then for DP? Did you guys have discussions about it very, very early on while you were making Ida? Like, how did the story for this come about for you?
Yes, we start to work on the film quite early, because Paweł, I was even finishing film in Russia, and I had a kind of a little break, so I came to him. It was even more than, I think, half a year before, so it was our kind of a first meeting, and of course, earlier we were talking about script, I mean, about story, rather, because Paweł, he doesn't treat the script like something serious. And when I came, when I finished the film in Russia, I just came to Warsaw, and it's just, you know, we're spending a lot of time sitting together at his apartment and going through the script, reading the scenes, looking for solutions for the scenes, watching films. We're going for recce's, because it was also a lot of recce's for this film, like a lot of directors' recce's with production designers. So we're taking pictures, going to the locations, placing people, like a production people, you know, as actors, and trying to find angles. Later on, we're going back to Paweł's apartment, sitting, placing, you know, reading script, talking about scenes, and looking at pictures, and trying to find, you know, the best solution, like a formal solution for every scene, because, you know, it's, every scene is important. There is no like a explanatory scenes, like every scene, it must be some some, you know, it's a little bit like a microfilm. It has like a beginning, middle, and ending, and every scene is for something. It's not just the information. So it was a very long process, but I mean, it was an amazing process. It was like a, you know, like a journey. Like a, I mean, the whole film, the whole process of this film, it was kind of a very special because Pavel, he doesn't, you know, he treats everything like a process.
Yeah.
It's like he's refining everything. He's somehow sculpting. So when we are distilling, so when we are preparing, we are like a distilling, you know, looking for different things. Just sometimes we're doing step back. And later on, when we were on the set, we were doing exactly the same. So we were very well prepared because we spent really like half a year. I mean, I was even going with him to rehearsals of Joasia Zula, to when she was learning to dance. I was with him on a concert of Mazowsze group. So it's like a Mazurek group because there is a real group which is called Mazowsze. And also we're recording a lot. We're recording everything. And after that, we were just looking at this, watching all those things and just taking notes and having ideas. And when we started shooting, it was exactly the same. When we knew how to do it, and we had rules, ideas.
Yeah.
And, but you know, being on a set with Pavel, he's putting all those elements. I mean, he has a decoration and putting actors, extras, props, cars. I mean, what? I mean, sometimes, you know, animals, and he's constantly working on that. Just trying to capturing some life and just making a lot of takes just to find this one in which everything will just synchronize in a proper way and he will capture the piece of life. I think that's the most exciting in the cinema, and I think, you know, the working with him somehow constitute my way of looking at working in film. So I honestly now I can't imagine a little bit, you know, the different way of different, you know, attitude. I think it's the really sense of a film that you just do not illustrate the script, but like treat the picture and, you know, sound, music, actors like a part of one film, like, you know, like one part, you know, like a table which has a four legs and picture also has to convey the mood and everything. It's not just, you know, it's not a background, and you know, also extras, they need to have amazing faces, good faces, proper faces, and everything what is happening in the background or foreground, it also needs to have something.
Yeah. Now, I know that there are a lot of stylistic similarities between Cold War and Ida, both of them black and white films, both of them 1.37 aspect ratio. But there are also some differences as well. Can you talk to me a little bit? You alluded before about some films, photographs. Can you talk about like some of the inspiration that you drew upon to create not the similarities, but the differences between Cold War and Ida?
Yeah, there's a lot of difference. Yeah, because as you said, it's the format is the same, and they are black and white. But I mean, there was a goal for us, and also it was a big goal for me because I remember I went to Cameramash before shooting. I mean, 2 months before shooting, everybody was asking me, "What are you doing now? Yeah, I filmed this Pavel, and is it going to black and white and 3:4? Yeah. I said, yes, but the camera is going to move. But it's not only one difference. I think the film is completely different because we aim for high contrast in this film. And also we wanted to make this contrast change, that it's changing because it starts like not so contrasty, but how the story develops and how the temperature between characters grows. Also, contrast is changing, and it's in Poland. It's a little bit because in Poland, you know, there was not so much sunlight. It was winter. There was, you know, there was bleached and there was gray. But later on, when you go to Paris, the contrast is increasing and it's going very high, and it's the picture is very crisp and glamour. So, and for this, I had inspiration for the Helmut Newton photography, and Ralph Gibson photography was my very strong inspiration to have a very high contrast, a lot of and big grain, and also, you know, and exactly we played the same in the same way with a depth of field and the camera movement. So at the beginning, the depth of field is quite huge. I mean, we are using apertures like 5.6 and a half, and later on, when we are in Paris, the depth of field is very shallow because they are alienated. They are somehow in their problems, in their relation. They are not there. They are in their relation, very, very, very into it. And so this is also different thing. And you know, also lenses were wider at the beginning when we were in Poland, and somehow we are a Zula world. And they are a part of the picture in the beginning. Later on, they're we have longer lenses, and they're also separated. And when we are at the end of the film, everything changes, and we are when you're in Poland, everything becomes wider, and you have a lot of air, and you have also feel, you know, the exteriors. And I think the idea was make a different film, but also keep it simple. And I mean, we had a very simple rules in terms of camera movement. That, you know, the Zula is the energy who triggers the camera. You know, she is the power which gives the camera movement. And the camera is moving. So, and also, you know, it changes in terms of style, because in the beginning, it's rather a chronicle. You don't know what is going on a little bit. You see the musicians and the camera is a little bit, you know, shaky. It looks like it was filmed by amateur, camera operator. Later on, we move to something more stylized, which maybe it's a little bit reminiscent of Ida. But when we are when they are in love, so when we are just following them, and you know, we're with them, and when we are back in Poland, everything changes, and we go something more metaphorical, symbolical, more magical. So yes, I think it's a lot of difference in this film between Ida and Cold War.
Absolutely. One of the things that's been singled out though about your work in both films is you have this way of framing the characters with lots of extra headroom.
Yeah.
And I want to just ask you about that. What is the intent behind a lot of those shots where characters are usually at the bottom of the frame and we see a lot more above them? Can you tell me a little bit about the choices behind that?
Yeah, because I think the legs are not so interesting, you know.
Sometimes, yeah.
Because it's better to see face and something more, you know, the world. Mm-hmm. Of course I'm joking a little bit, but it's a piece of truth in this. Because also in this film we are composing we are building pictures completely different, because Ida is a little bit flat and it's more in one dimension. It's more like poster, more like picture, like a painting.
There's more like depth to this, you were saying before.
Yeah. And in this film, we are composing in depth. We are building a lot of layers and you know, that was just the idea to build the world in depth. So we were placing camera quite high and trying and building the world in depth, and also, you know, using this format, because I think when you use this format, and this format allows you to compose more interesting and gives more emotions to achieve more emotions thanks to composition and also more symbolic. So, and because I think we got used to, you know, this kind of a wide screen format when we place people and this golden points and their faces, and it's always, not always, but very often it's the same. And I think this format allows you to just make more emotional pictures and more symbolic pictures, because you compose in a different way, sometimes breaking the rules of composition and placing people in a different way. But I think it just, you know, to, I think it's, that was the idea, to not only build, for example, like a portrait, not only make portraits which are only, you know, actor's face and just a blurred background, but you are like building like a mm-hmm. complex world. You are just building the, because very often, you know, we are just telling the scene in one shot or two shots. We didn't do the typical coverage. That is why that was the idea, to build like a complex image of the world, not only portrait, but also like a whole world in, which is, you know, in the character is. And build a kind of essential frames and suggest about things which are beyond the picture. We don't see them, but we feel them, because we are composing such a picture which are kind of a, they are like that. These were like a part of bigger, like the bigger whole. So yeah, that was, I think, that the most idea, just to create such a, you know, essential like a pictures which tells a little bit. Even you don't see it, but it tells a lot about the entire world.
Yeah, it is very painterly, and that is definitely something that I noticed. I feel like I could take frames from this movie and frame them and hang them up on my wall. They are that well. Wow. Yeah, they are that well crafted, for sure. You know, one thing that a lot of people are wondering, because this film was also shot in black and white, is this a style that you and Paolo are going to continue, or do you believe that you will eventually shoot a film with him on color at some point?
And I think, you know, it's not like you have a, I think it's not like you have a style and that you are shooting every film in black and white, but I think that for every film you need to find a proper tool and proper style, and you should mm-hmm. find a proper way to tell this story. And, you know, we did attempt to color, but you know, from the beginning there was an idea that the film is going to black and white. We just made sure that we are making the best decision. But, you know, there was no colors in Poland, you know, that everything was black and white, gray.
It was very desaturated,
desaturated, you know, there was no color. So we very quickly, we understood that, you know, it will look like, you know, Soviet, or like a Soviet stock, or like, you know, this East German stock, and it will be kind of like mannered and... But, you know, the black and white, and also, you know, we wanted to link, you know, on the cinema, you know, 40s, 60s, 50s. And mm-hmm. And I think, you know, also black and white, it gives you opportunity to interpret the world in the way you like. I think just help to just create your own interpretation, you know, with such a high contrast. So yeah, that was the idea, but you know, there was no color. I think that is the main reason that is black and white. Honestly,
yeah,
we were trying to keep things simple.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. There is one shot in the film. There's like a long shot in a club that I was going to ask you to take us through in a little bit more detail, but I know we're running out of time. And that is probably, I would imagine, the most complex shot within the entire film, and I kind of do want to leave those mysteries open for listeners right now, and have them explore and see the film for themselves. So just remember, there is this one long shot, a very complex shot that you have done within this movie, Lukasz, that is just absolutely exquisite, and it really, really sticks out to me a lot. You know what scene I'm talking about, of course, right?
Yeah, I mean, in a club, yeah, when she's
yeah, that's the one.
Yeah,
I don't want to go too into it. I want to like tease our listeners right now so that they go, ooh, I kind of want to see what he's talking about. Let me go watch Cold War, and so hopefully those that are listening right now can check out your work and see what an unbelievable job you did with this movie. It's one of the most breathtakingly beautiful films I've seen this year, and I hope that you continue to work with Paolo and give us some more exquisite pieces of art such as this. Which leads me to my final question. What is next on your path? What's the next project that you're working on?
I don't know yet, because after such a film, you know, which were kind of not only work, but like a creative meditation, an amazing journey for me, I'm just looking for a new project, because so I don't know yet. I mean, I would love to continue the such a way of working when the film is kind of when making film is something you are learning something about yourself, about the people, about the world, and you And it's not only, you know, it's not only making photography or pictures to the film, but it's also like a great lesson for yourself. So I don't know yet.
Okay, well, that's fair.
But I have a few projects. I mean, I'm talking about, but I can say anything more now. But I don't know yet, honestly.
Well, if your work that you did also on another film, Loving Vincent, is any indication, it tells me that you are boundless and that you have a lot to offer us within this great realm of filmmaking called cinematography. So, Lukasz, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you so much. It was great to talk with you.
Absolutely. You have a nice day.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to my interview with Lukasz Zau, the cinematographer for the film Cold War, releasing in theaters on December 21st from Amazon Studios. You can subscribe to the Next Best Picture podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, also on CastBox, Acast, and newly on Spotify. Be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback. And as far as your support goes, if you head on over to Patreon, for $1 minimum a month, you can get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we shall see you all next time.
Hello, this is Gary Chahot welcoming you to check out the French History Podcast. Our main show covers the history of France from the first humans until present. If you liked Mike Duncan's The History of Rome and wanted a similar program covering the land of beauty, culture, and love, we are exactly that. We also host world-renowned scholars who have delivered guest episodes on their specialties, including 18th century pirates, revolutionary booksellers in 20th century Paris, the special friendship between the Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson, and numerous others. Learn what you love and listen to the French History Podcast today.